This is Ecotopia on KZFR. We recently read some essays about the environment printed in the Chico Enterprise Record. These were written on the topic of water conservation by fifth graders at Parkview Elementary School. We were really impressed by the writing and the students and their teachers with us today via Zoom. So I want to welcome all you Parkview Elementary students.
Hi.
There we go. Maybe you could just tell us your name so listeners can get a sense of your voices. Caitlin, you want to lead us off?
I'm Caitlin Washinger.
Okay. Audrey?
Hi, I'm Audrey and I'm 11.
Okay. Braden?
Hello, I'm Braden Peacock and I am 11.
Okay. And Sean?
Hello, my name is Sean Kelly and I'm 10.
Excellent. Thank you. We really appreciate your being with us. We're on a Zoom call. So tell us, please, what was the project you researched before you wrote your essays?
We studied on water conservation.
Mm-hmm. And it turned, go ahead.
And we also learned how it related to grass.
Okay. So you focused in on grass once you got into the water conservation topic. Where did you go for your information sources? Did you Google the topic online or talk to people? Audrey?
So a majority of it was from our own classmates because Mrs. Janos let us share all of our information with each other, so we all had access to it.
And where did that come from in the first place, the information?
So she provided some links for us to, you know, use information from, but we could also, you know, just go ahead and Google it, and then we could find, you know, various websites.
Okay, great. How much water does a lawn use? Braden, I think you did some research on that, and the rest of you did as well. Braden, can you tell us a little bit about how much water goes into a lawn?
Well, so this is just my lawn. Different lawns use different amounts.
Mm-hmm.
I did some calculations and I found out that the average lawn uses about 243 gallons of water a day.
Tell me a little more about the formula that you use. How do you figure the size of the lawn and then how much water it uses? Go ahead.
Let's see. So I don't quite remember, but I believe the formula we used, so first we calculated the square footage of the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to calculate that. And then we had to calculate the amount of irrigation the lawn would need. So we did the ETO. Which is the amount of water needed for the irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
And we used factor 0 and 25 hundredths. And then we did, so the equation we used was ETO times PF times SF times 62 hundredths, and it's pretty confusing. And then we divided it by IE, which is irrigation efficiency, and we just used 62 hundredths because that's the constant value used for conversion. And SF, it said this area would be irrigated in square feet, so we used our square footage, which is SF, and the plant factor is the PF, so different plant, and so we just used 1 for our plant factor because it's grass, and the plant factor, different plants use different amounts of water, and grass uses 1 gallon, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not 1 gallon, but we use that amount, I don't know. And then, so we calculated it all up, once we divided it by IE, which is irrigation efficiency, and the reason we did that is because some irrigation never gets used by the plant, and the sprinkler system misses 50% of the water does not hit the lawn. So we had to divide that by 5/10, and then we calculated that all together. Then we had to calculate how much a low water use lawn would be, and it was the same except for different values for the equation.
You are blowing my mind. That's a really complicated, as you said, equation. When I was in fifth grade, the only math we did, we would take home long sheets of addition and multiplication tables. That was it. Come back the next morning with all those problems done. This is really cool that at your age, you are able to work with a formula that is that complicated. And it really puts your math into actual practical use. So instead of just doing exercises. Well, that's great. We know now a little bit about how much water a lawn uses. Kind of a general question. I like to go to the park and take naps on the silky green grass. And in your essays, all four of you said, grass is not that interesting. We could afford to get rid of it. Who can tell me what's wrong with grass? Caitlin and then Sean.
For one, we spend almost $60 billion a year on grass products alone.
Incredible. Sean? Yes.
We should be planting native plants since they're native here and use less water.
Mm-hmm.
Because the climate here doesn't usually get that much rain, so it gets less water.
Right. And one of you, I think, wrote that grass is just boring. You remember who put that in an essay and what you said about the boringness of grass? Okay, Braden. And I think Audrey had something to say as well. Go ahead, Braden.
Yeah, I said that it was, it just looks generic. It's like everyone has grass. So Why didn't you replace it? Because if everyone puts in wildflowers, no wildflower is the same, but all the blades of grass look the same. So if you put in native plants, your lawn is going to look, it's going to look unique and it'll save water. So that's a big bonus. And have you ever looked at a lawn and like marveled at the lawn? Oh, it's so amazing. Before?
Right. Did somebody else want to add to that? Audrey.
Yeah, similar to what Braden said, I feel like grass, it's just green, plain green. And, you know, sometimes it'll be dead and yellow. But with wildflowers and just native plants, there's so many varieties of different colors, like probably colors we haven't even seen before.
Yes. I'll tell you about something I read a long while back, but was kind of interesting, that wherever there's a lawn, people buy lawnmowers. And so up and down the block, you have dozens and dozens of lawnmowers. And this guy said, well, if anything, we could share the lawnmowers. But he said it was really wasteful to have all that power equipment. You know, some days on a Saturday, all you can hear is the roar of the lawnmowers up and down your block. So you talked a little bit about the alternatives like native plants, flowers. Are there other things that you would recommend to replace your lawn with? Audrey.
So we talked about native plants, but then you can't just have plants on top of, you know, concrete or whatever. So we had a specific group researching landscaping materials, and what was brought up a lot was mulch. And for me personally, I like decomposed granite because it prevents weeds from growing, but it still keeps the soil moist.
Mm-hmm. I think, Audrey, you wrote about you can actually get paid for removing your lawn. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
So some companies, water specifically companies, like the San Diego Water Company, they will pay you to replace your lawn with basically anything other than grass. And I can't remember exactly, but there was a certain amount you get paid per square foot, and you could get paid up to $4,000 just for replacing your lawn.
Wow. Really impressive. Caitlin, at the end of your essay, you had something interesting. You were talking about what Mother Teresa might think about removing lawns. Could you paraphrase that for us, please?
Yeah. So what I said was, as Mother Teresa would say, the more you have, the more you are occupied. The less you have, the more free you are. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
But I changed it a little bit to the more grass you have, the more occupied you will be. The less you have, the more free you will be.
That's an excellent, excellent switch. Anybody have additional things you'd like to say before I turn to Mrs. Janos and ask her about it? Caitlin.
It's a comment on the land, on the lawnmower thing.
Mm-hmm.
We spill almost 17 million gallons of lawnmower gas a year.
Okay. Yeah, that is enough to make it right there, isn't it? 17 million gallons. And yeah, we don't need more fossil fuels, and we don't need more fossil fuel pollution from two-cycle or four-cycle engines. Great. Anything else you'd like to add? Anybody from the group? Yes, Audrey.
To add on to what I said about getting paid for replacing your lawn, mm-hmm. you're saving water every day. Like my lawn, personally, it's a small lawn and it uses around 210 gallons per day. But if I were to switch over to things like native shrubs and other landscaping materials, I could be using 35 gallons per day.
Wow.
And so saving water is saving money on your water bill. So you can get paid while saving money.
Excellent. Right. Okay. Let me turn to Mrs. Janos then. She's your teacher, an excellent teacher. Tell us about, I forgot to ask about the California Water Challenge. So perhaps you could tell us about that. And mainly why you chose to do this and what you see as the educational benefit to projects like these.
Well, the Cal Water Project, it's actually the Cal Water H2O Challenge, is, and I call it my project with the students, and it's not my project really, it's their project. I just help to facilitate them. But it is it's a contest for teachers who work in areas of California where Cal Water is the provider, and the classrooms can participate in grades 4 through 6 to, research and focus on some area of water conservation and create this project to not just learn about water conservation, but to teach others about it and to try to make a difference in their community as well. And so we took this challenge on this year, which was certainly challenging, being that some of the class is, well, we started out all online, and then we turned into part of the classes in person and part of the classes online. And just of the kids that you have with us right now, it is split 50-50. We have 2 kids that come in person and we have 2 kids that are online. And one of the goals of this opportunity for our class was to give them an opportunity to collaborate, whether they are in the AM on, in-person session or in the PM online. I wanted them to feel like they're part of a class, regardless of that separation. And this was a really great opportunity for them to find a purpose in their collaboration. And it's not just, hey, look what we did in the morning and look what we did in the afternoon. This is, we're doing this together every step of the way, which has been a fantastic opportunity for them to communicate, because they had to communicate outside of school for this to work completely. So the kids were using Google Hangouts to chat with each other about their projects. They were creating Zoom meetings to talk with each other, with purpose and not about video games. And they were doing a lot of really amazing work outside of our school day with kids that they didn't get to see on a regular basis, right, which was one of the main goals. As far as the project, they created this. So I started out, with educational goals that start with the standards. I look at our NGSS standards for science, and then I look at the Common Core standards for language arts and math. And I work with those standards to create a framework of what I know I want them to learn. And how can I embed them through a real life opportunity for them? So we start out with the science lessons, and these science lessons are the same kinds of lessons we would normally do because they need that background. They need the firm understanding of what it is they're researching. They learned about how much water there is on the planet. They learned about fresh water versus salt water. They learned about aquifers. They learned about all the actual science behind water. They learned about human problems that are in regarding water, which is also a science standard for fifth grade. And through that learning, they were then able to say, oh, wait, I can actually identify a lot of problems with our water that are human created. So they sat down, whether in class or online, and created a list of the kinds of problems that we as humans have created with water, in whether it's, you know, taking long showers or washing our cars in the runoff. And they could identify a lot of these things and say, oh, that's terrible. We should take shorter showers, or we should turn off our faucet in between brushing our teeth. And, you know, they could identify those things before they walked in the door that day. Mm-hmm. And we took a minute and we spent a little more time researching. And I said, you know, let's look at some really well done infographics. And we looked at infographics that showed household water use. And they all noticed a commonality in that the biggest chunk of water by a home is being used in their yard. And it's not the showers, although we don't want to, you know, waste our water. And it's not, you know, the toothbrushing. So please brush your teeth. You know, it's wasted. And some kids said, I'm going to stop drinking water because I don't want to waste it. No, please drink water. Drink it's water. Not a waste. But that lawn usage, it was just striking to them. And across the board, the kids noticed that grass lawns took up a lot of water. They didn't notice that. I didn't tell them that. They noticed it. So they then their next step was to say, okay, what is it that I want to spend some time to focus my research on so that I can make a change in our community? And as a class, they brainstormed ideas. And there were huge numbers of ideas they came up with. And we looked at those lists that they came up with. And then I asked them, you know, choose the one of your list that you think is the most important for our community. Is it going to be, you know, to stop washing your car? Is that a permanent fix? Or is there something else that can really change in significant ways the amount of water that was being used? And the kids looked at their lists, and we saw over and over, not 100%, but the same answer for this was coming up by a lot of different kids. They said, we need to do something about lawns. So they came up with that idea. And then what we did is we realized we need to figure out, how do you change that lawn? So we need to know, how much water does our lawn use? How much water would a lawn with, or would a yard without grass use? All of these things they realized they had to do. So I just facilitated. They told me, they need to know how much water. Okay, I'm going to get you the formula. And now they went out, each one of them went out and measured their yard. And I showed them how to find out their square footage. And I showed them how to calculate water use with grass lawn and sprinkler. And we learned about irrigation inefficiency. And, you know, all of this came up really naturally through some guidance, but on their own, because they understood the concepts. And so they each made that comparison of changing the amount of water their own yard used into a low water use yard. They were shocked when they saw those numbers. It was just startling for them, and they loved it. So they went from there, and they realized, you know, people need to know this information. So students, one of our Common Core standards is to write opinion writing, and so we wrote opinion letters to go to the newspaper. And it was really, you know, our opinion based in fact. So I showed them how to cite their research, and, you know, they wrote opinion writing that told people why to change their yard. Mm-hmm. And I sent those on to the Enterprise record. And they loved them. They said, I'd love to print them all, but it would take the entire newspaper. So can we just put this, you know, they went and they looked through and tried to find the ones they liked and put them in. And then from there, the kids, they didn't stop there. They created a model of, after researching in their groups, whether, you know, their research was landscaping material. And some of the kids took temperature guns and realized, okay, if I put black rock out, that's going to heat up the area a lot. So I don't, if I take out all the grass, which was cooler, I want to replace it with cool materials. They realized mulch was pretty cool temperature wise. And, you know, DG is cool temperature wise. So they looked for temperature cooling materials and drought resistant plants. And they looked for some of the kids researched the irrigation drip lines and how much they would need to put in and how they would have to plant based on drip lines. And then they shared that information with each other. And they modeled then, it created a design of their new yard, created a model of their new yard, shared their models with each other. And then as groups, they created either public service announcements some of the kids did TED Talk style talks, like speeches that they recorded. And some of the kids coded on Scratch games where the people could play around with changing the landscaping of their yards. And this opportunity was just completely student driven. There was buy-in by everyone. Every single student turned in something. And you can't, as a teacher during this time, you can't say that that's common. There's a lot of kids right now that are struggling to get their work done. This had high engagement. The buy-in was huge. They care about it. There, it may have started out with an extrinsic reward, thinking about getting a prize from the Cal Water, but this really turned into an internal, intrinsic reward for the kids.
Yeah. Well, fabulous project. My guests today have been Braden Peacock, Caitlin Wassinger, Audrey Vu, Sean Kelly from Parkview Elementary, their teacher, Tammy Janos. You've done great work. Anytime you folks want to come back on Ecotopia to tell us about the environment, what you're doing in your work, let me know and we'll put you on again. So thank you very much for being with me today. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you for having us.